This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Our investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Fine. Decatur Fire Department crews with the Water Department will be flushing and flow testing about 1,200 city fire hydrants next month. This process will occur Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Crews will be checking for operational deficiencies, performing maintenance, and recording flow data. Temporary discoloration of water may occur in areas where hydrants are being tested. No safety or health issues are associated with the discolored water, but residents should make sure the water is clear before doing laundry. The Illinois Department of Employment Security says the unemployment rate ticked up to 4.8% in February. The national unemployment rate was 3.9%. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, non-farm payrolls increased by a little over 23,000. The sectors with the largest gains included government, construction, and leisure and hospitality. More at NowDecatur.com.
Two Trump cases in one day. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The former president is on deadline to appeal a civil ruling, and Fox's Eric Schoen reports from New York City.
We do expect the president to be here at Manhattan Criminal Court later on this morning. That for the Stormy Daniels election interference hush money case. His lawyers want that case thrown out, or at least delayed by 90 days. It was supposed to start today, but the judge gave them a month delay because the feds did not turn over about 100,000 pages worth of material dealing with Michael Cohen.
Well, the former president is charged with falsifying business records in repayments to Cohen, an ex-Trump attorney dating back to 2016. Now, as for the New York civil case, the former president has to come up with, by today, more than $450 million bond to appeal what he calls a crazy fraud ruling from a Trump-hating judge and attorney general.
Letitia James is threatening to freeze his bank and brokerage accounts, collect rent from his tenants, and initiate proceedings to seize his properties in New York. Here are the properties at stake, including the famous Manhattan Trump Tower and Trump National Golf Club in Westchester.
Fox's Brooks Singman in Russia. Four men were in court appearing to have been beaten. One was in a wheelchair. All are accused of carrying out an attack ISIS claims responsibility for.
Large crowds continue to gather in Moscow to mourn the victims of the tragic terrorist attack at a concert hall. It is being considered the deadliest attack on Russian soil in years, killing more than 130 people and then leaving hundreds of others hurt.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Russia claims Ukraine was involved in the plot, which the U.S. says is not true. As Russia fired more missiles at the capital Kyiv today, Ukrainian officials say two were shot down, but five people were injured. We will hear today from star L.A. Dodgers player Shohei Ohtani for the first time about the scandal Major League Baseball is investigating involving Ohtani's interpreter, who was fired last week by the Dodgers, accused of stealing more than $4 million from Ohtani to pay gambling debts to an illegal bookie in California. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, Father's Day, graduation season right around the corner. And if you're looking for a really great, unique gift, you got to check out the personalized receiver covers from my friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, they're available for Henry's Golden Boy and Golden Boy Silver rifles, which come in three calibers, 22 LR, 22 Magnum, and 17 HMR. Just go to henryusa.com and type in personalized in your search box. Well, there you're going to find a link to the product page with step-by-step instructions. They can engrave any message that you want, up to 20 words, and the process is easy, it's simple, it's affordable, and it doesn't require a gunsmith. Check out Henry's personalized receiver covers if you're looking for a great gift for dads or grads. Make sure you get their free catalog. They mail it with free decals and a list of dealers where you live. That's henryusa.com. You get the free catalog, free decals. They have 200 rifles, shotguns, revolvers to choose from, and you're going to love this company. I know I do.
A lot of talking. No progress reported after Secretary of State Antony Blinken went to Egypt and Israel trying to broker a ceasefire in Gaza, as the U.S. keeps urging Israel not to conduct a looming operation to root Hamas militants out of Rafah, an area of Gaza filled with Palestinian civilians.
Talks wrapped up this weekend in Qatar amid hopes for a fresh agreement. According to reports, CIA Director William Burns, along with top Israeli intelligence officials, left Doha empty-handed. The conversations are expected to continue, with officials here hoping it could lead to a six-week ceasefire with the release of dozens of Israeli hostages.
It's Fox's Trey Yingst in Tel Aviv. Speaking of talking, Japan and North Korea could have their first summit of leaders in two decades.
We've had a statement from leader Kim Jong-un's sister, herself a powerful senior official. Kim Yo-jong says Japan's prime minister's offered to meet, but she has demands. Tokyo would have to tolerate the North Korean weapons program and ignore North Korea's past abductions of Japanese citizens. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida says he wants talks without preconditions. He believes a meeting's important for solving issues, including the historic abductions. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are falling before this week's trading. Now to the March Madness.
And it is over. The Houston Cougars survive.
Houston outlasted Texas A&M in overtime on TNT to advance to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament. Two other regional top seeds also moved on, Connecticut and Purdue. Clemson upset a three-seed Baylor. Alabama, Duke, and Marquette and San Diego State also won. On the NASCAR track, William Byron won on the road course in Austin, Texas on Fox.
When we're on, we're firing on all cylinders, whether it's pit road, strategy. This is really cool.
Christopher Bell was second. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. My kids are really excited about spring break, so I'm looking for a new Toyota to help make it amazing.
Now until April 1st is a great time for a new Toyota. Imagine you and the kids in a Tundra on your way
to the lake to go speedboating.
Woo-hoo! Or even taking a RAV4.
To an animal sanctuary to pick goats.
Sounds like your kids aren't the only ones excited about spring break.
Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Good morning. Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Showers likely mainly after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy and a high of 62. Tonight, showers and a chance of thunderstorms, low of 51, and wind gusts as high as 48 miles per hour. For Tuesday, more wind and a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 56. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 46. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 52 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning, and welcome to the, just turn my mic down a little bit. Don't know who was in on Friday. Welcome to the Monday edition of Byers & Company. We have a lot to get to, including Kevin, the mayor, and Topper next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
So sometimes you leave Friday morning and you come back Monday and there are so many things to talk about, things that have lined up in the calendar, happened, whether it's Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, into Monday, crazy. All kinds of college basketball, way to go Illini, that I can't believe. It is hard for me to believe that they haven't been to a Sweet 16 in 19 years. I mean, that is almost impossible to believe. But it has been all those years ago when we go back and we think of that Illini team that made it all the way to the final championship game and lost to North Carolina, the Arizona game, all of that. Can you believe that's 19 years ago?
I was at that game.
Which game?
It was in St. Louis, that championship game. Against North Carolina, and they got robbed. The referees were terrible in that game. They called all those tic-tac fouls. Illinois got robbed.
Okay, don't be Greg Spain talking about that play at first base 100 years later. They got beat.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I watched the game.
And you don't think they got...
I think it's a game, and the calls go both ways, and there are things that every team looks to and said, we should have had this.
No, it was horrible. They got robbed. You would think in a championship
okay,
game,
but what expertise are you using to judge the referees?
I was a witness. I was at the game.
Okay. So were what, 40,000 other people?
And everybody that was there for Illinois would agree with me.
Because they lost. Of course they would say robbed.
No, they didn't. They didn't let them play. North Carolina had that big guy, was a Tate or something like that. And he got away with murder, and our guy, Augustine, got fouled out of the game.
Okay.
It was terrible.
All right, can we stick? I just really wanted to make
it
about
revenge.
It's been night.
The Illini to go all the way and win it this time.
That's not revenge unless they play North Carolina.
That's still possible, I think.
Okay.
I think North Carolina's still.
I think 19 years is long enough to let it go. I really, really do. And let's not, I don't want to live 19 years ago. See, you're not going to hijack it this way today. We're going to talk about what happened this weekend. I'm just saying I can't believe it's that much time has passed since the last time the Illini got this far in the tournament.
Wasn't it nice to watch the Illini go up so much in the first half that you didn't have to worry
about the refs taking it from you? Yeah.
It was
nice.
No, that they didn't have to come back in the second half to win it.
That's the first game in a long time where they've been able to, yes, you've been able to breathe okay during the second half and feel like everything was going to work out. Last four games.
It was wonderful.
In the Big Ten tournament and beyond, we're like, oh, my God, nail biters at halftime. No idea what was going to happen. And then they end up finding their way in the second half and looking pretty dominant.
You kind of knew it was going to happen on Thursday, and it did. But on Saturday, it was just a cakewalk. It was wonderful. Just sit there and enjoy a victory all the way through.
All right. Do you think, who was it, Tom Izzo? I don't know. There were a couple of coaches coming out of this that started this thing about not letting these smaller schools in with automatic bids. In other words, like, we don't want any Cinderella stories in March Madness. Isn't that baked into the recipe of why the tournament is so much fun?
It's it is an ingredient that's as important as the beef patty on a burger. I mean, it is the thing. They call it chalk when you put right down the higher seed, moving on, and every time.
Right.
Brackets full of chalk are looked down on. They're boring. It's not supposed to go that way. And also, it sets up the entire value for the season in ways that small conferences get attention. People have eyeballs on them. It is absolutely baked in. It's integral.
And isn't it sort of whiny when the bigger schools complain about that? There were a couple of coaches who made some comments over the last few days. I love when, we have to look up Grand Canyon University. No idea. Are they Lopes? Are they Lopez? We don't even know. It's the Lopes. We learned from Antelope. And they're in Phoenix, Arizona. And I watched them play last night in maybe the ugliest basketball game I've ever seen. But then I thought, well, I don't know what's ugly, but Charles Barkley squared me away right after the game. So I don't know what. case that was. Wasn't basketball, but it was fun to watch, and they were all over the floor, and it was great. Yeah, Michigan State coach has coached teams that have lost in the NCAA to Nevada, George Mason, Memphis, Middle Tennessee. And he gets $6.2 million a year. And he said, look, you know, we should be thinking about not having these, you know, smaller or mid-major automatic bids.
What's his reasoning?
Evidently.
So this doesn't happen?
Huh?
Well, what he's doing is he's
building up the...
It's like, well, you know, these sort of things can come and unravel all the hard work of the teams that play all the hard teams all year. And they can't beat these small teams, which totally defeats his point.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Well, what about Virginia? I mean, they were number one and lost in the first round in 17, or was it?
I thought all the number ones are still here in this tournament.
It's almost unthinkable for that. It is unthinkable. It's only happened once. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is. It'll be interesting to see how the rest of it plays out. And there is occasionally there's a team that will make a run to the Elite Eight or whatever out of nowhere, but it generally settles itself, right? After a few upsets.
What I'm confused about is Iowa State is ranked 2 in the tournament, and Illinois 3, and Illinois is favored to win by 2.
Well, that's performance. I mean, what have they done? You know, they get the bid into the tournament once the season, you know, tournaments are over. And then what have they done in the last 2 or 3 games? I mean, people look at that before they make picks, right? I mean, you think Vegas odds are set?
I mean, that's a good matchup. But it just tells me that Illinois should have been 2 and Iowa should have been 3.
It also matters to the matchup, the very specific matchup.
Yeah, player by player.
Yeah, so if you take a team that's plays really small basketball, for example, fast and quick, and then they go up against a tree of guys that are all 7 feet and can shut them down by putting their hands up, all of a sudden the other team has the advantage just based on how they match up against
each
other.
They give them the ranking in the tournament based on their overall
on the body of work,
and then you could run into somebody, you know, that's an 11 seed that matches up well against you. I mean, I think at that point that stuff kind of goes away, especially when you're talking about top 1, 2, 3 teams. It all depends on who you're playing.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it says that Terrence Shannon Jr.
We like to credit things around here. What are you reading?
Okay.
No, you said it says.
The Journal Star.
Okay.
All right. That says that Terrence Shannon Jr., 23.3 points per game, 4 rebounds, and Tamlin Lipsey, 12.5 points per game, 4.6 rebounds. So those are the two stars. So Terrence Shannon Jr. changes the formula for everything. He is so good. I love hearing the national broadcasters talk about this guy.
Well, I also think there's a whole lot of Illini fans that aren't talking about the dark cloud hanging over this guy and this team throughout all of this thing.
Well, it's already been, they've already gone to the Sweet 16, so that's over with. The dark cloud's gone.
I'm talking about the rape charges.
Oh, with Terrence Shannon Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's due process.
I totally agree. But you can't sit and have these conversations. And Illini fans are just tired. I mean, they don't want to hear it at all. And it's not everybody's riding the gravy train. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I'm conflicted sitting here watching this guy. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. He's a hell of a basketball player. He's really talented. But you've got this whole other thing hanging over here that he could absolutely be 1,000% innocent of. He could also be
a shame. But
wouldn't it be a shame if he's guilty and we've been rooting the guy on like he's the next thing? Can't you be of both minds about that at the same time?
I don't know what you want me to say about that. The alleged incident is kind of a he said, she said, isn't it? So how do we know who's right?
Well, they've pressed charges. They've filed charges.
It's not the first time, I think.
Okay. Kevin, are you judging? I thought it was going to be adjudicated.
It is.
Well, but
I didn't bring it up.
But
You brought it up. You said it was a dark cloud.
It is.
The guy's innocent, proven guilty.
So is she.
I didn't bring it up. I didn't want to talk about her because it sounds suspicious to me.
Okay. I think we'll let the court of law decide that, but it is actually charges have been filed. Law enforcement has been involved. They have filed charges. I mean, it's not he said, she said at this point. It's charges
people
have been
can
filed.
File charges.
Well, no, people can't file charges. Law enforcement. You have to actually have somebody file a charge. Law enforcement did this. She can come forward and make a claim or make an allegation. And if the state's attorney or the people involved don't press charges, that's not up to her. It's the people in law enforcement that do this. And they have pressed charges.
Well, she's prosecuting or she wants them prosecuted, obviously.
Yep. I'm not, he could be absolutely innocent. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying it is, there's an uncomfortable thing where
why hand it to Illinois for letting the kid play?
They didn't let
basketball.
Him play. They didn't let him play. Josh Whitman kicked him off the team. He went and sued the University of Illinois, and a judge made them put him back on the team.
I thought that was three panels that allowed him back on the team.
No.
A panel
no.
three.
No. Not at all. He went to court. Nick, am I wrong about this?
He sued the Illini.
Yeah. Josh Whitman absolutely kicked him off the team.
Wasn't it Josh Whitman that took him back to Kansas and bailed him out?
It doesn't.
He provided the bond?
I don't know, Kevin, but I know he kicked him off the team. He had to go to court to get back on that team, or else we would not be watching him play for the Illini. Once again, he is innocent until
so
proven
you're
guilty.
So that the Illini Athletic
the AD, the athletic
director. Does not want him on the team.
I'm saying.
He said he kicked him off. He doesn't want him on
Nick,
the team.
It is factually speaking. I don't know what you're saying.
I've got a timeline.
Okay.
December 5th, charged with one counter rape. December 28th, turned himself in, arrested one day after warrant is issued, released on $50,000 bail, suspended by the Illini indefinitely. Citing their policies. On January 2nd, he wrote a 1,000-plus word letter addressing the student-athlete conduct panel to declare his innocence. On the 8th, his attorneys file a temporary restraining order against the University of Illinois seeking immediate reinstatement, claiming was not granted due process before being suspended from the team. On the 19th of January, his court ruled that the school violated his civil rights with the suspension, got an injunction, and he was allowed to play. The 21st is when he rejoined the team.
So the panel had nothing to do with that?
No.
He appealed to the panel. It didn't go anywhere, and so then they took it to the courts.
You can go to December 29th and watch the 33-minute press conference of athletic director Josh Whitman addressing the suspension of Terrence Shannon. Or you can just listen to his own words. All I'm saying is Brad Underwood can talk about character and all of this, and Illini fans can be excited and root for him, and I am too, but it makes me uncomfortable because you don't know. It could be, and Nick and I talked about this extensively last week, it could be that he is absolutely innocent of doing anything wrong.
And he would have missed all this opportunity of being an innocent person.
Yep.
And the flip side is also
that's
true.
That's why I'm glad he's getting to play, because due process has not played out. I heard that Josh Whitman drove him back to Kansas and it helped him with the bond to get freed. And I think Illinois is behind him. But maybe doing it this way is a lot better for the university than the three-person panel letting him back in. Let the courts decide. And they did. But they're not. They haven't put a cloud over him.
They kicked him off the team.
Well, they're acting like he's
of course they are, because it's a big money thing and they want to win, and he's causing them to win. There's no virtue here. There's fun for Illini fans, and go have fun. I'm not suggesting otherwise. I'm just saying it is hard for me to sort of just skip over this thing that the athletic director on December 29th, well, the day before press conference was held on the 29th, that this was not their choice. Now, maybe there's all kinds of things happening in the background where they knew he could go sue and get back on the team, and they looked like the good guys, but that's even worse.
What if they've I bet the folks at Illinois know more about this incident than we know. And what if they feel that the kid's got a pretty good story and that he's being victimized?
I don't know. I'm not the one saying I heard. I'm just giving
if,
you.
If that's and that is, there's probably a high likelihood they do know more. And he said for all of reports that he was participating in the process on the up and up. But they had the opportunity to reinstate him if they if didn't. That's what they wanted to do with that information.
Unless at it's cynical point. Enough. Well,
they didn't have to because he took it to a court.
Yeah. Well, then that makes me question everyone's character. To be quite honest. Well,
that's a big hedge from the university.
If Illinois really didn't want him on the team, they don't have to play him. They could bench him because they think he violated their rules of codes of conduct. But you don't see that happening.
Because winning's more important.
Oh, well, that's... Well, I'm not going to say what I think that sounds like, but...
What do you...
That sounds cynical.
I'm cynical for arguing that a guy who got charged got kicked off the team.
On one hand, you're saying Illinois kicked him off team and they don't want him on the team.
No, I'm not saying they did.
Because of a court.
That's exactly what happened.
And then when he comes back on the team, they play him like he's a superstar. I think they think he's a superstar.
I think
they probably think he's innocent.
I don't think they care about that part.
I don't agree with that.
Bruce Underwood, coach, says, I'm the basketball coach. This was March 17th. I'm the basketball coach, and a lot of this stuff was put in play by our university and the courts, and I'm not going to consume myself with it. I've got a locker room full of players that I said when he was suspended I was going to coach the guys in the locker room. He's in the locker room. I'm going to coach him. So it's just as simple as he's there, and he's a better player than the other ones there, and he makes it in the lineup. So at a lineup level, he's acting as if whoever you put in there is who I'll coach, and he's not going to discern himself.
No, and that's up to the university. And they said no, but then the court said yes. So, you know, that's not my problem. I'm just here to coach.
It is a tricky situation because, as we know, we like to always say in the United States, not always say, but how it is innocent until proven guilty.
And that's absolutely true.
And then with hindsight comes after things unfold and things happen, if he ends up, you know, being guilty of this, the harm that was given to the lady, the spotlight that and the gains that he was being given. Granted, although all those would be, I guess, within reason because his due process hadn't happened yet. But it is a murky thing for a lot of people watching it.
You wouldn't know watching it.
Well, that's right.
I mean, with the knowledge.
Aren't they talking?
Because it's not good for their brand. They want you to watch basketball. You think they're going to talk about this when they go back to the studio?
Why wouldn't they talk about it?
Oh, now it's the media's fault.
Well, you're the one saying they're ignoring it.
I'm saying in the context of the tournament, they are ignoring it.
They are.
Yeah. Those aren't journalists. Those are sports play-by-play people. Those are heads at a desk giving you an opinion on what happened with the basketball game. That is not the same thing as people who are writing serious news stories every day or reporting on news. Listen, if they had stood by their guy at the very beginning and said, we think he's innocent or he at least deserves his chance at a fair trial and we're going to play him until otherwise, it would be one thing. That's not what they did. Now, if you're saying they did this huge sort of trickery just to make themselves not look bad and make the court be the one who made him play, that's even worse to me. And then the coach saying, well, I just, you know, I'm just dealing with the players they hand me. That everybody's taking a pass on this thing. And at the end of the day, it might be justified. I hope if that's the case, he has a wonderful NBA career and makes a ton of money. And it's a shame that he had to go through what he had to go through. I'm just saying it's a little murky for me watching this stuff. It's exciting. It's fun. But they keep talking about all the great character and talking about all the talent and talking about all the thing. And we just act like December through March didn't happen.
His next court date is in May.
Which was moved because of backlog or something, which I'm not even going to get into because I don't believe the court of law or a court system would monkey around with stupid stuff like moving trial dates, you know, for tournaments. But if you're just outside looking in, this stuff should have been going on before then. I don't understand why that gets you upset.
Because I think the whole thing's fishy.
I know, but you have no reason to have any backing of thinking that other than it sounds suspicious to you. Like, I have no way of saying he's guilty. It sounds real. I don't know what it is. All I know is if something's fishy with somebody coming forward, you remember the Kobe Bryant thing that happened, you know, generally that's found out before law enforcement gets involved and before charges are filed and before things, and maybe not. I don't know. And I'm saying up front, I don't know. He may be completely innocent. He may be completely guilty. But if you think money doesn't matter or winning doesn't matter, this is Exhibit A with not only the University of Illinois, but the entire NCAA tournament. That at the end of the day, ratings and eyeballs and ticket sales and all of this stuff, that's what matters. And I still want the Illini to win.
No, I don't know. You kind of cast, you're the one who put the cloud over. It was a great morning with Illini success.
I did?
Yes. I mean, what'd you have to go bring this up for? I mean, geez, the guy is going to have due process. If he's guilty, he's guilty. And so if he's innocent, okay. He's innocent.
So if
but
we
right
get...
now, let's just enjoy what's going on because we don't know. And he's one heck of a basketball player. And, you know, if you would have listened to Underwood before all this happened, the kid's got the greatest character in the world.
Okay, but that...
So that should play into some of this. It's not his nature to be a rapist. And from what
well,
you used
does...
to hear about
oh my
this
God,
kid,
Kevin.
He's a workhorse.
All right. Because a kid is can work hard on a basketball court, there have been umpteen thousand athletes convicted of doing things they're not supposed to do that worked hard and were great athletes. One's got nothing to do with the other. And there's also been umpteen athletes that have been falsely accused by people that where they didn't do anything.
And most of those are professional athletes, men. That
these are professional athletes.
Yeah, no, these are young.
These are NIL
kids.
Paid professional
these
athletes.
These are college kids that were in a bar, and I don't know. It's suspicious. That's all I'm saying.
Of course it is, unless he played for North Carolina. And that's the thing that's going on around here right now, is Illini fans just want to see the game. They don't want to hear about this. They don't want to talk about this. They don't want to think about this. And I understand that. But that doesn't mean it's not a thing.
James Augustine played for 9 minutes in that game because he fouled out.
Okay. I love how your moral outrage is like right along the lines of officiating and rape charges.
You're talking apples and oranges, North Carolina game.
I'm talking about what's going on now. You're talking about a game 19 years ago.
You just brought it up, unless it's North Carolina. And
because it's the other team you would be rooting against, the one you're holding this grudge. Then you think the player's evil if there's any of these things that are hanging around. If you're a fan, this is the way it's always been with fans. Everybody hated Dennis Rodman until he got to their team, right?
I like Dennis Rodman.
Because he was a bull. You hated him when he was with the Pistons, right?
He's awesome with the Spurs, too.
That's just the way the fan base works. All I'm saying is that if you were just landed here tomorrow and you watched the NCAA tournament, you wouldn't even know any of this was going on. And that is because at the end of the day, and part of the problem with why the NCAA
is... in fairness to him, that's great that nobody knows what's going on. What if he's innocent? And that made national news... And this guy is ruined for life, even though he was innocent.
Okay. What if he's guilty?
Well, then it'll make national news, and he'll be ruined for life. But why ruin him now when it's not known? Because you can't get that back.
Okay. How is it not known? The athletic director kicked him off the team. I said if you landed on this planet tomorrow and watched the NCAA tournament, you would never know.
Illini
fans know.
But the nation doesn't really pay any attention to it unless they talked about it. And they didn't, to their credit.
Okay.
Van Pelt, you know, he's a journalist. So why wouldn't he be going on and on about it?
What does Scott Van Pelt have to do with it?
Well, you're saying These guys are sports. They're not journalists, and they're not going to talk.
They're sports.
Dan Pelt talks about everything.
Okay, how do you know he hasn't talked about this? I'm talking about the NCAA tournament coverage.
I don't know, but I assumed you did.
Okay. I can't consume everything, Kevin. I haven't been going to Scott Van Pelt during the tournament for his take on anything. I'm talking about just what's on TV as they pop around to the different channels and you open your apps and you watch the games, or you watch the game on Thursday. Late tip, by the way, Thursday night. And this doesn't have to be a half-hour conversation. I told you, I'm of two minds of it. I can look at it for what it is. He may be innocent. He may be guilty. But law enforcement has charged him. His team kicked him off the team. He's playing because he hired a lawyer and sued the university, and they had to put him back on the team. You can think that the charges sound suspicious. I don't know. I don't have any idea.
They sound suspicious.
I don't know. What if it was your daughter? What if it was your family? I mean, can't anybody look at this from the other side? Just because he has basketball skills does not make him immune to what everybody else has to walk around and do as far as following the law.
And just because he's a basketball phenomenon makes him a target.
Absolutely could be. But there's also law enforcement who investigated and decided this rises to the level of a crime.
Based on what she said.
Okay. I think fans can twist themselves into pretzels trying to act like they've got all the information when they don't. And we don't know. And we will see in, what did you say, May, when the trial?
I think it's May 10th.
All right. And if he is innocent, it's incredibly unfair what he had to go through. If he's guilty, then a lot of Illini fans are going to have to justify their own behavior, trying to wish something away and turn themselves into moral pretzels just so he could get in there and get 30 points a game.
So if you had it your way, would you want him to play or not?
I think the athletic director probably was right from the beginning in saying that if we're going to set a tone and we're going to talk about character and we're going to talk about winning not being as important as being, better people and doing the right thing, that was Josh Whitman's go-to. That's what he went to at the beginning.
And that was kind of a middle step in that they weren't kicking him out of school, pulling his scholarships or any of that other stuff. You're just not able to
because
do
that's
this.
What he said. That would be unfair.
Yeah.
Before there's a trial. But we can't have him out there wearing our uniform on a national stage with a rape charge hanging over his head.
So they tried to take a down the middle sort of approach to it, fair or unfair. It was a little bit of both. Some punishment while not a full, you're guilty and you lose every right and privilege that we've given to you. That's a tough one. That's a tough situation.
And he seemed to me like he lent support to Shannon by helping him out and walking him through the bond process. And if he really...
But Kevin, you could do that and still go, we can't have you out there.
Well, why do that? Why not let his parents do that? Why not let somebody else? He was getting, I think, support from the athletic department. Help.
But yet you
so
didn't.
So if you think Josh Whitman is being so virtuous here, I can make a case that I think Josh Whitman is kind of on his side right now.
But how are you making that case? You're speculating. I'm just telling you what Josh Whitman said.
Well, get him on your radio show.
He doesn't care. That's the point. No one does because it's getting in the way. It's the ugly thing in the table that no one wants to see at dinner because everybody's having this big feast and making all this money. And so no one wants to address it at all. That's all I'm saying. And I understand what fan bases do. They get excited about the thing and they'll overlook the thing because the bigger thing is more exciting. And I really don't believe you have to be one way or the other. I think you can acknowledge that, hey, there's a very serious thing hanging here and it could go either way. But to just act like it's not in the room, which is what most Illini fans are doing and have been doing. And then when you watch the tournament, and there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the whole tournament, men's and women's, numbers are way up. Games are exciting. This was meant to be 2 minutes, turned into 20 minutes. That's not my intent. Is it, look, can we at least acknowledge that there's this thing?
So when you watch the game, you, not knowing whether he's innocent or not, you don't get that excited because you don't think he should be playing.
I don't know that he should or shouldn't be playing. I know what the athletic director's move was, which was to take him off the team and not play him.
Well, they could still not play him if they didn't want to.
I totally agree.
So,
but Underwood's not going to.
That should say something.
No, it's, yes, it says we want to win at any cost.
If the athletic director tells Underwood, you will not play that guy, Underwood's got to do what the athletic director says.
No one wants, everybody wants to keep their job. Everyone.
Oh, now
you think.
Now Josh Whitman is.
Kevin, this gotcha game isn't going to work because I'm rock solid on this. I've said from get-go.
But that doesn't make it right.
What have I said that's wrong?
You put a cloud over
I
this
put a cloud.
Whole excitement.
Not the law enforcement people, the state's attorney, the filed charges, the victim who came forward. I put a cloud on this tournament because I pointed out you all are ignoring that there's a rape charge hanging over this guy's head. I put the cloud out there.
Because there's a charge does not make him guilty.
I didn't. When did I
say?
So
the police have to do what they have to do if she says he did it. And that's what they did.
So you think they just, all she has to do is say he did it, and they just put an arrest warrant out?
Well, a state's attorney makes those decisions.
Okay. I'd like to know what I've said that's factually wrong. I mean, you may not like it, but that doesn't make it wrong. I'd really like to know. I'm not speculating what's in Josh Whitman's head or Underwood's head or the state's attorney's head or anyone's head. I'm saying here's what the team did, and they did, and you can listen to him in his own words. They didn't kick him out of school.
So you think what the team did was right, but you think it's okay that they let him play?
The court, no. I think everybody's doing this because Brad Underwood wants to keep his job. The Illini fans want to see a Sweet 16, maybe an Elite 8. God knows there's a run. And everyone would rather this thing go away and no one talk about it at all because you're stirring the pot in the middle of them making a lot of money.
Oh, man. And you,
how else
it's
do you
all about the money? You don't think that the talent, the performance, the unbelievable.
That means the money.
The kid's like the third highest scorer in the whole college.
That's the means. That's the means to the money, Kevin.
Oh, I'm not that cynical.
You're incredibly cynical.
No, I'm not.
You never met the victim, never seen heard the evidence, the testimony, anything. You didn't even know Josh Whitman kicked him off the team, and you're saying fishy. But I'm cynical. I'm saying charges have been filed. I'm saying
I knew he was suspended from the team and he was let back on. I thought it had to do with the 3-person panel.
Mm-mm.
But all right, it has to do with the courts. Even better.
Okay.
So it's not some arbitrary 3-person panel in a university. I'd rather it be the courts. So if you're making the case that some lawyer in Kansas is decided to file charges, I make the case that there's a court that says this guy's entitled to play.
He is entitled to play by the very court action.
Forget about the cloud until the court.
And then or until the tournament's court, over, you mean?
No, yeah, until he goes to court.
Okay. All right.
Because it just ruins the whole excitement.
Oh, my God. That's kind of my point. You wonder why athletes get away with what athletes get away with for years and years and years and years and years. And that doesn't mean that some are not.
Well, you're right by that comment. You're implying that he's guilty.
I am not. I'm implying the culture is guilty. I'm saying the culture.
He's a great kid.
He may be. But, Kevin, how many athletes? Do you want me to give you a list of people who turned out to be monsters, but they ignored the behavior because it meant a win on the football field or the basketball court? Did not say that.
I'm implying that.
Oh, I'm not. I'm saying the culture is win at all cost. And always has been. And when it's your team, and I mean you collectively, not you personally, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to see it. Don't ruin our parade. But it has been done historically.
Well, my first reaction when I heard this was, God, how could that kid be so stupid? And then when you hear more and more about the victim and that this has happened more than once with her, then you start saying,
And where do you have that information?
It's been in the news.
In the news, or
that's where I heard it. So it's been in the news.
Okay.
You haven't heard that?
No, I have not.
Have you heard of Nick?
I haven't, but I'm not actively seeking the information, so I wouldn't have it.
The end of the day, I don't understand why this. I do not understand why you take this personally. He's either guilty or he's not guilty.
Just ruined the whole weekend.
How is that?
By putting a cloud over this. Why aren't they reporting this? That just doesn't make sense to me when you don't know if the kid's guilty or innocent.
Okay.
But he is allowed to play. So he is playing. So let the courts decide. Instead, we're ruining it by making or implying that the kid is probably guilty. And I don't think he's probably guilty.
But you and I have no idea whether he's probably guilty or probably innocent.
Exactly.
And I've said that from the very beginning.
So why talk about
I'm not
about
the one
like
implying
this.
That the victim is guilty in this. I'm not the one implying I know Brad.
Well, do a little
Underwood's
research on the victim, and maybe you'll find out that
God.
I'm right.
I'm supposed to research her now. We're not supposed to talk about
him.
He's on national TV
She's
every
making
night.
The accusations.
Okay. You can't win this with fans, because at the end of the day, the truest thing you said is don't ruin our fun time.
And let justice prevail.
Okay.
And let the courts decide.
If justice prevails.
This guy is getting his civil rights and his legal rights carried out. And so let that happen. And I hope the guy is innocent. But if he's not, he's ruined for life.
Okay, but if he's not, then you'll come back and take back all this stuff about the cloud that I put over the tournament?
Sure.
Okay.
But we don't know at this point, so I don't know why we put a cloud over the tournament until we know. You can wait. Let's say he's guilty. You can come back and say, well, they should never have let him play, da-da-da-da-da-da. But if he's innocent, it's, boy, am I glad justice prevailed. But to do it now, I think, is unfair to the kid.
Okay.
So we just disagree. You think they should be talking?
You think it's unfair to the kid or unfair to Illini fans?
Well, I like the kid. I become a big fan. This guy is a superstar. He's in a phenomenon. And everything I heard about him up until this accusation has been nothing but admirable things. I mean, this kid gets up at 4 in the morning. He works out every day, very disciplined. It doesn't fit his character from the way I heard it. So let's just see.
Okay. We can move on. We certainly can.
Man.
I don't
talk about throwing cold water.
This is the BS that you do that I don't understand. I can't mention. I am the bad guy for mentioning that this guy has been arrested on rape charges.
Well, you went negative on a very positive thing. It's been the Illini. It's been the greatest shoe they've had.
Okay, let me ask you, what's your opinion of Joe Paterno?
I have no opinion. The guy got what he deserved, I guess.
Right. I had Penn State fans when that was going on tell me that I was going to rot in hell and I was an awful human being. And how dare I talk about Joe Paterno and what he knew or didn't know with what was going on in that program, a Big Ten program. We'll just stay here nice and tight in the family. How did that turn out? But what did that university do to win football games?
I don't want to talk about Joe Paterno. We're talking about Shannon.
Okay. I'm talking about how the people that run these institutions and run these organizations will overlook all kinds of stuff to keep winning. That is the crazy thing. And then ESPN and Turner Network, I mean, however many people are in this satellite of giving you this tournament, they want to do what they want to do to make all the money they can off this thing, period. And Illini fans run the gamut of they're talking about that too much. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Okay.
All Josh Whitman did.
You thought Josh Whitman was, you didn't even know Josh Whitman kicked him off the team.
He followed a policy.
So now that's.
Kick him off the team. It was a policy.
He kicked him off the team.
Anybody that had charges filed against him.
Why do you think that policy exists?
Wasn't because of Shannon.
No, but why do you think it exists? Why are the rules?
It's a policy that
the university wrote. You're an insurance guy. Why would they have a policy like that?
But the courts let him back on the team. It's the way it should have happened.
This is way longer than what I wanted, but it is also the only conversation I've heard in the last 2 weeks about that there's somebody else in this thing that has filed charges and there is a rape charge. I don't think it has to be 25 minutes of this, and I don't have to think it has to be 19 hours of ignoring it on national TV. He very well may be innocent, said that from day one, and absolutely deserves his right to a trial. And if he does, then good for him, and he'll go to the NBA and he'll play. I'm not saying he shouldn't even be playing in the tournament. All I'm saying is you had AD say this was serious enough at this level, we are kicking you off the team.
What if he's innocent? Aren't you happy that
he found
a lawyer
what if
that
he's guilty?
Would defend him?
I found a lawyer that would defend him? How hard is that? I mean, you make that sound like it's some charity case.
Well, if it wasn't for the lawyer, he wouldn't be playing.
Right.
If he hadn't sued, he wouldn't be playing.
Right.
So,
sued who?
The University of Illinois.
And the athletic director that made the decision to kick him off the team. Yeah.
Well, I think if the university was that convinced that he shouldn't be playing, they could bench him. And they didn't.
I don't disagree. But they didn't. Why? But we're not in agreement about why they're not benching him, because they want to win.
On one hand, they're virtuous by having a policy like that. On the other hand, they're not virtuous.
No, I'm saying they all hide behind all of this. They all do. That's why it goes on. It's why it went on at Penn State for 25, 30 years until all of that came crumbling down. At the end of the day, they all want to win, period. I'm not looking for virtue anywhere here except for what happens in a court of law when this kid and the alleged victim get their day in court. That will be the only virtue involved in any of this. The rest of it's slimy. That's what I'm saying. It's like while I can enjoy it and root for it, there is at least the knowledge of this thing hanging over this thing that it just seems like everybody that roots for the orange and blue would just rather not even acknowledge it exists.
What is your opinion? Should he play or shouldn't he play?
My opinion is that I think what Josh Whitman did at the beginning was what the university probably should have done.
So and you don't think he should be playing?
No, I'm saying they didn't think he should be playing.
All right, but now he is.
Then he gets the right to play. He got the judge says you can't do this, and you've got to play. And then what Brad Underwood, you know, says, like, I just deal with the players they give me. That's the university's thing, not my thing. No one has to take any responsibility.
Do you feel he should be playing?
Yeah, he got the judge. Yes, the court said. Unlike you, I don't do this on speculation or someone told me or I heard. Yes, the court said you can't kick him off the team. So you're going to play. He's playing. I'm fine with that. And at the end of the day, if he's innocent, he'll get a career in the NBA and will make millions and millions of dollars beyond what he's making with NIL or whatever now. Great. And if that turns out that way, great. I hope it turns out that way for him.
But you want the national media to be talking about it.
When you spend all of the time talking about character and content and conduct and how great these athletes are and how great this program is, and they go back to the studio and female announcers are talking about how cool this kid, it would be nice if someone acknowledged every once in a while, oh, by the way.
He's got this hanging over him.
Yeah. And if your family was the victim of a crime and somebody just act like it didn't happen and trampled all over that for the name of money and ratings and all this stuff, it would infuriate you.
If I knew if it was my family and there was going to be a court case, I'd wait for the court case.
Okay.
And so he said, she said.
All right. Do we want to talk about anything else? Because I don't have.
Mike Claiborne's coming back on Soy City Buzz tonight. His debut for the.
How long has he been gone? I thought you guys had him back for spring training.
No.
I say, well, you guys. I mean the new guys.
I'm out. well, spring training is over. So opening day is coming next Thursday. And he starts, thanks to Jurger Pediatrics, tonight on Soy City Buzz on First Mid Mondays. At 5:05, he'll be on. Cardinals, I don't know. Man, they had a rough weekend, and they're like 500 in the Grapefruit League, sixth overall. It's hard to tell what kind of team they got from watching spring training.
All right, Michael Berhaney and Jack Vance. Who else is in? Gretchen, your old partner, is coming full circle.
Yeah, she's going to come in and talk about Murphy and Company and Jeff Engel from the Decatur Club. So it's kind of like one of the old shows I used to do.
Okay.
Those are my friends.
Ow. That hurts.
Well, they are. I mean, I had them on a lot.
No, I thought you had a little double meaning there.
No. I didn't mean that. You're still my friend.
Still my friend. I've single-handedly put a cloud over the Illini program. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? I wasn't.
Who would have thought this conversation would have gone in this direction? I thought we were going to be all happy this morning.
We were going to be happy. Who would have thought?
Nick won't even chime in. He's flabbergasted.
You know what? Now Nick's flabbergasted. I'm an idiot. I'm the only one ruining the parade. You know what? I wasn't in that bar that night. I didn't have anything to do with any of this. I'm pretty sure Nick didn't either. Nick, do you want to weigh in?
It's unbelievably complicated, and I think that the Illini, with their first initial actions, were probably the right actions. Using Josh Whitman's words, it said they have a zero tolerance and policy and all of that. And then I think absolutely that while it sucks for the family and the victims and everything like that, I think he is due his day in court. And so thus, I mean, if he was a plumber, he'd keep plumbing. If he was basketball player, he should still go to class. His life has to resume. But, there could be a reckoning. Well, there will be a reckoning one way or the other, either by a false accusation or by guilty actions.
Which is all I've said.
Yeah, that's what I agree. That is
consistently all I have said.
Yeah.
And if you watch the New England Patriots, the Dynasty on Apple, which is a really good series, and you look at what they allowed Aaron Hernandez to get away. Everybody was shocked when that guy got arrested for murder. No one should have been.
No, the stories that.
And even Robert Kraft, you know, acknowledging that they screwed that up. You know, they overlooked all kinds of things. The idea that sports teams or universities won't do everything they can to win, even while they're out preaching about what it is. I mean, it's not all on this kid. It's just as much on the institution that says, hey, we won't stand for this until the court goes, well, you have to let him back on the team. And they go, oh, okay, all good now. Start. There are no good guys in this, including the networks and what I do. And I don't understand why it's so hard just to go, there are two possibilities here.
Well, because an accusation like that ruins a person forever.
I didn't make the accusation. An arrest warrant was made, and he was arrested, no, Kevin.
A woman made the charge.
But that's not how it works, Kevin. It doesn't work that way here. It doesn't work that way there. You don't just go to the police station and go, here's my accusation, and they issue an arrest warrant. There's an investigation done. And then even if there's an arrest made, the state's attorney decides about whether they're going to press charges or not. That is not what it is. It's just an allegation.
We'll see.
Okay. We'll see whether he's convicted of the crime he's been arrested for. This isn't an allegation now. This is a criminal charge. And he will either be found innocent or he'll be found guilty. I hope he's found innocent. I really do. And I hope that he will be able to go on and have a great career. But what if he's not?
Then he's ruined for life.
Okay. What about the victim?
She'll probably file some kind of civil suit.
You don't think she's... So he's ruined... She's just grabbing for money, if he's found guilty.
No, if he's guilty, it's horrible.
Okay.
For her?
Then we agree.
Right.
All right, you're going to be back?
You're innocent until proven guilty.
We agree. We've agreed from Jump Street on this. Are you going to be back next week or are you traveling?
Do you want me back next
week? I want you back as many times as you want. I don't get personal about this. None of this. I'm not mad, angry. I'm not emotionally tied to any of this. That's my whole point.
Well, then I'll be back next week.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
We're going to talk about the Cardinals and Shohei Ohtani facing off in the first series this week coming up.
Gee, what, is there any news Cardinals around that?
Visit L.A.
And yeah. Why is that pesky sports world not want to just talk about baseball?
It should be a fun series.
Did he, you think he,
I have no idea, but it's a huge story.
We don't have time. We don't have time to crack that.
We don't have another an hour and a half.
We'll talk about it on Monday.
Okay. Kevin's going to come in early.
Yeah.
We'll start the show at 4. All right. We've got a lot to get to here, including the mayor of Decatur who will be in, and then, we'll get into some other things that happened. The Australian GP. Well, we now know how to have an interesting race, have Max go out on lap 3 on fire, like, not in a good way. And we'll see what happens. A big day for Nick's Ferrari team. All right, we'll be back after the news. You're listening to Byers & Company. Don't go anywhere. The mayor's coming up next.
We're everywhere you are. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Jesse Heating and Air. Great products and great people, treating you the way you want to be treated since 1979. Decatur Public Schools will have a summer sign-up event and community resource fair on April 11th at MacArthur High School from 4:30 to 6:30. Families can sign up, DPS students K through 12, for community enrichment programs this summer. DPS will pay up to $350 per student toward registration and fees. You can split the $350 between as many or as few programs as you want your student to attend. Community resource partners will also be on hand to connect families to available services and benefit programs. The Village of Forsyth held its Easter egg hunt over the weekend at Forsyth Park. The hunt was divided into sections based on age and...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.